each meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Here comes Peter Cottontail, hopping down the bunny trail. Hippity hoppity, Easter's on its way. Bringing every girl and boy baskets full of Easter joy. Things to make your Easter bright and gay.
He's got jelly beans for Tommy, colored eggs for Sister Sue. There's an orchid for your mommy and an Easter bonnet too. Oh,
here comes Peter Cottontail, hopping down the bunny trail. Hippity hoppity, happy Easter day.
Here comes Peter Cottontail, hopping down the bunny trail. Look at him stop and listen to him say, try to do the things you should. Maybe if you're extra good, he'll roll lots of Easter eggs your way. You'll wake up on Easter morning and you'll know that he was there. When you find those chocolate bunnies that he's hiding everywhere.
Oh, here comes Peter Cottontail, hopping down the bunny trail. Hippity hoppity, happy Easter day.
Happy Monday, everybody. It is Easter Monday, and you might surmised from that song that you just endured for the entirety that it is the day after Easter, Easter Monday. And I have Jeff Carls here. Jeff is involved with an organization that I'm very, very in love with. It's the Institute on Religious Life. The offices are up on the seminary ground. So, Jeff, why don't you tell everybody a little bit more. Mike Wick and I go way back, and his commute, he's now assisting Bishop Hying in Gary, Indiana. He'd have a shorter commute than you coming all the way from Madison. It was Lodi, Wisconsin, which I am aware of up near Madison. So Introduce yourself to the audience, please. By the way, I'm Mike Stark. I forgot to even mention that. I just assume everyone knows by now.
All right. Well, I'm delighted to be here. Thank you, Mike, for asking us to come in. My name is Jeff Carls, and I'm the executive director of the Institute on Religious Life. I've been serving on the board at the Institute for a little over 20 years, and when Mike Wick gave notice that he was going to be moving on to go assist Bishop Hying, I was asked to be on a search committee to look for the next executive director, and someone suggested to me that I might consider taking the position myself, which is funny because for as long as I'd been on the board and going back and forth from New Hampshire, where I was president at Magdalen College at the time, I always thought to myself, if Mike Wick ever decides to leave that job, I would really love that work because I love religious life. And lo and behold, Mike gives his notice, and I had recently moved back to the Midwest, to Wisconsin, where I'm from originally, back to my hometown in Lodi. After 25 years in Catholic higher education at Magdalen College, came back to the Midwest, and all of a sudden the opportunity presented itself. And I thought, why not? It's something I love. It's something I understand, something very dear to my heart. And so I said yes, even though I have another full-time job as principal at our grade school at our parish in Lodi. But, you know, thinking that I'm young enough to be able to, even though I just turned retirement age, even though I'm thinking I'm young enough to be able to pull this off and do it, I said yes. And so I've been been the executive director now for 2 years. I commute back and forth every other week down to Mundelein. To help in the office, and the rest of the time I do my work from my home up in Lodi. I come down for all the big conferences and all the big meetings, and also help set up and go to all of our regional meetings throughout the country. We have one on the West Coast, we have one on the East Coast, we have one in the Midwest. And our upcoming big conference, our national conference, which is every year, Divine Mercy Weekend, held at the seminary at Mundelein. And so far it's working, although as I hopefully one day will phase out at the grade school and come on full time at the Institute of Religious Life, it's what I would consider to be my ideal retirement job. So a little bit about the Institute on Religious Life. We were founded in 1974 by servant of God, Father John A. Hardin, S.J., at the request of the Holy See to help save religious life in the United States. The Institute is unique in that it's a collaboration between bishops, religious priests, and the laity. And some of the early collaborators include Archbishop Fulton Sheen, Mother Teresa, now St. Mother Teresa of Calcutta. We have approximately 190-plus affiliate communities that we serve throughout the United States and Canada and even Italy. Our goal is to help the communities that we support by helping them to promote their mission through our website and through social media. And we do this so that we can proclaim to the world what religious life is all about and how essential it is to following the life of Christ. So we have many opportunities to serve the religious and to assist them in their apostolates. We have the Vita Consecrata, which is a summer program hosted at Christendom College in Virginia. It works through their graduate program, whereby religious can study and earn their master's degree. As I mentioned earlier, we have the regional conferences, one in Boston, one in Los Angeles, one in Missouri, and then our big meeting again coming up next weekend at Mundelein.
That's this weekend, actually.
That's this upcoming weekend.
This Friday, right?
That's right. It starts on Friday, and Friday sessions are mainly for religious. And then Saturday, we have a host of speakers who will talk about our theme this year, Forming Apostles for Today. This year, we honor a religious community or someone who has done something to help promote religious life each year at the national meeting. And this year, we'll be recognizing and honoring the Little Sisters of the Poor as they celebrate 150 years in our country, having come here from France. They were established in 1839. By Saint Jean Jujang, who saw the need in France to help the elderly and the impoverished, and therefore established homes throughout the country, and now I think in 31 countries throughout the world, And the closest home is St. Joseph's here in Palatine, Illinois.
Right. They have a home downtown too, though, don't they?
I believe so. You're correct.
They do have one downtown. I actually did a documentary on them for Shalom World Television about 2 years ago. Sister Pauline, who was in charge of donations, and I became fast friends when she came to my church in Lake Forest and spoke, and we started talking, and I just fell in love with her. And she says, will you help me? I gave her my Truth and Life audio Bible for every home. So I gave, she said, oh, you give me one? I said, how many homes do you have? And they had 33. In the United States. So I gave her a copy of the Truth and Life audio Bible on CD for every one of their homes so people could listen to the Bible. Because so many people that are staying with them are, number one, underprivileged, but number two, getting close to meeting God. Yeah. And as a result, what better way to meet God than to prepare by listening to his word? And a lot of them are infirmed. I know Bishop Kakanis's mom celebrated her 102nd birthday. I think she has since passed, but I think she lived to 104, and she was in Palatine. And Bishop Kakanis was there. Bishop Rassus was there because they'd had a celebration of their 50 years in Palatine a couple of years ago. So I've become very close with them. I've gone begging with them. And when I say begging, they go to the different produce markets and different places here in Chicago where many of these companies will donate food for their every week.
Yeah.
So these ladies are up on Tuesday at like 4:30 in the morning, and they go to Mass, and then they spend the day going to these places and collecting what they can. And I found it unique because these ladies are so nice, and everyone talks about Little Sisters of the Poor.
Right.
Like, oh, like the football coach. Like, oh, we're not playing Little Sisters of the Poor. Well, who are Little Sisters of the Poor? So digging into who they are and what you guys are doing to give them a well-deserved award for their kind work, because I think there's a lot of religious communities. Obviously, IRL recognizes these different communities. And I think it's nice that people get a shout-out, so to speak, individually for them. Now, on Friday, I know you're doing some other things. I know I'm part of that because I'm showing my Cardinal George movie documentary there on Friday. But I was talking to Anne Shantz, neighbor and good friend, and parishioner at St. Mary's in Lake Forest. And she was telling me, there's another special guest you're having before me. She said, hopefully they'll get me a bigger audience, but whatever. This is something I think the people out there will be very interested to know, because the movie Unplanned has become a phenomenon, even though it hasn't been promoted by the fake news media, but it has been promoted on Fox, and some people are aware of it. Jeff, could you explain a little bit about what you're doing with the producer?
Yes, it's the executive producer of Unplanned who contacted us to see, after finding out that it was the weekend of our national meeting, contacted us to see if we would be open to having him speak and explain the whole process of producing the movie. And, of course, when you get a call like this, you just make room. So
right.
That's what we did, and it'll be shortly after the session begins in the morning. Again, it'll be the retreat for the religious, and then lunch, and then right after lunch we will host the executive producer, and he's going to tell us about the production of Unplanned, how it all came into being. He had contacted Marytown to see if he could do something there, but I think they're on a pilgrimage that day or something, so he referred them to us, and we're the beneficiaries of being
God
able
incidence.
To have hosting him.
It's one of those things where God wanted him there. And how would people go about coming to this event on Friday? If you have the time on Friday, I would advise you to come, because that's a big deal, and you're going to get a chance to see my documentary on the life of Cardinal George, which has been... I don't know what you'd say. Everyone that's seen it likes it, and it's a story of, you know, probably the greatest archbishop in the history of the Catholic Church in the United States. I think history will bear that out. I mean, there haven't been any other archbishops that have been considered for the papacy, and he definitely was considered. But how would somebody go about coming to this event on Friday if they should like to come? Are there any costs involved? How would one go about coming to University of St. Mary of the Lake, Mundelein, on this Friday.
Okay, no cost involved.
There's a bonus.
The program will be complimentary. And for more information, I would suggest just call the office at 847-573-8975 or go to the website at www.religiouslife.com for more information. Again, what I can tell you is that it'll be scheduled right after lunch. I'm not exactly sure the exact time at this point in that Anne has that information as she's worked that out with the seminary. But immediately following lunch, come to the seminary, and it will be in the main building just to the left of the chapel as you're facing the chapel. It's the conference center there. And that's where the presentation
The rector's office is in between
is
there.
In between,
and that's
correct.
That's closer to the road. It almost looks like a dorm room, but it's right next to the rector's office.
Yep.
Just south of the rector's office and south of the chapel. With that, we're going to get right back to everybody. Jeff and I will be speaking some more after this commercial break.
Floors as low. Portions of the day's programming are reproduced by means of electrical transcriptions or tape recordings.
Get in touch with God.
Get in touch with God.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
You've got your radio turned on to Winds of Change, where you can hear about your faith and hear about today's culture through the lens of Christ's teachings with Father Anthony Bush and others. Monday through Friday at noon on AM 750. Keep Winds of Change on by going to ststandschurch.org and click on the radio tab to donate. And Winds of Change offers thanks for your donation.
The Winds of Change.
The Winds of Change.
On AM 750, WNDZ. And on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Father Loya invites you to an extraordinary occasion of healing, hope, and grace. Monday and Tuesday, April 29th and 30th, as Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Parish in Homer Glen, Illinois, hosts the world-renowned international pilgrim Virgin Statue of Fatima. Come and hear the story of Fatima and venerate this image of Our Blessed Lady that has set out from Fatima, Portugal in 1947 to bring the graces of Fatima to all. Hundreds of favors and graces, including cures and countless conversions, have been associated with this image. The International Pilgrim Virgin Statue of Fatima, Monday and Tuesday, April 29th and 30th, at Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Parish, 14610 Wilcook Road in Homer Glen, Illinois. For complete schedule and information, visit ByzantineCatholic.com. That's ByzantineCatholic.com.
The Easter Bunny is coming to town today. Here's hoping he's hippity-hopping your way. So straighten your bonnets and shine up all your shoes. And hurry, there's no time to lose. The Easter Bunny is coming to town today. He's riding an engine instead of a sleigh. Don't blink for even a second or he'll be gone. He puffs in at quarter to dawn. He'll be filling Easter baskets. He'll be rolling eggs like mad. Green in everything that's winter clad. The Easter Bunny is coming to town today. Here's hoping he's hippity-hopping your way. So get your brushes and paints, give him a hand. It's Easter throughout all the land.
Well, that was Fred Astaire, who played the postman on Santa Claus is Coming to Town. I guess he's also into the Easter. I didn't know this. Nick has pulled up some classics for our Easter show today on Easter Monday. I have Jeff Carls here from the Institute on Religious Life, and we're talking about the upcoming national conference at University of St. Mary of the Lake this Friday and Saturday at Mundelein. And there's a lot going on there. The Institute on Religious Life is for people in religious life. And as Jeff, you and I were talking during the break, and I mentioned that I'd spoken there about my Truth in Life audio Bible in the past. And I remember the first time I got up on stage and I looked out into the crowd and I saw all the different groups of religious life, you know, people. And it's like an all-star game for religious. Like you're looking out and there's the Dodgers, there's the Cubs, there's the Yankees. It's like, there's the Little Sisters of the Poor. There's Mother Teresa's group. You know, there's different groups, Dominicans, and, you know, there's a few lay people scattered in there. But I mean, these people are sitting like a group of teams in their different, you know, sections. And it's really amazing to look out and see all the people and what this means to them, because you give them a sense of belonging and a place to come. Let's dig a little deeper into your conference, what else you're offering on Saturday, how people can, they can come here. Again, your website is?
www.religiouslife.com. For more information on the weekend for our national meeting. And as Mike was saying, what is really impressive about the gathering for the national meeting is that you have religious communities all in their habits, and the habits are all different colors. You can have all in black, or you can have black and white, or you can have robin egg blue, or you can have red, or you can have whatever. But you're looking at this sea of religious who embrace their vocations and live it so beautifully. And in my experience of going back and forth to the national meetings over these past 20 years, I always imagine that it's somewhat of a foretaste of heaven, because these are people who have embraced their vocation and live it to the full and live it beautifully, live it prayerfully, and you know, in very holy and very simple ways. And so being amongst them is really a gift and a treat and an honor. And it's a gift for them, too, because they get to come together and share their experiences and talk about their communities and what their communities are doing, their challenges, their struggles, their difficulties, their joys, their accomplishments, all of it. And again, when you're amongst people who first and foremost have a real relationship with the person of Jesus Christ and live it so well, it can't help but be something tangible and something that is very inspiring and very uplifting. And again, as a lay person, being able to be a part of that, it reassures me of, you know, my faith, my life in Christ, my relationship with Christ. I think from day to day, we can get caught up in all the pursuits that we have responsibilities for in our family life, in our parish life, in our work and professional life. And the weekend at Mundelein for the national meeting is a timeout. It's like a compact retreat that is just filled with prayer and with teaching, with community. There's the Mass on Saturday afternoon at 4:30 is the anticipatory Mass for Sunday, and it's always celebrated by Cardinal, a bishop, a member of the religious communities. This year, we are honored to have the celebrant for the Mass at 4:30 is Archbishop Christophe Pierre, the Apostolic Nuncio to the United States. And he's friends with the Little Sisters of the Poor, having been from France and speaking French himself. So he's delighted and wants to be here to share in the 150th anniversary celebration of the Little Sisters coming to the United States. So as I said, it's educational, it's inspirational, it's spiritual, it's common life, common prayer, just a time to celebrate and enjoy religious life and recognize it and help promote it as well.
As you said, it's a little taste of heaven, because all those people will be going to heaven. So you might as well get as close as you can to them and say, hey, if you make it before I do, please, you know, see what you can do to hook me up. I'd like to come with you guys. And the other thing, you said like a timeout, not a bad timeout like you make your toddler go into if they're misbehaving, but a good timeout. You also have, you invite kids, you know what, teenagers, and you sponsor that, and they sort of, they can come for free. There's some sort of a scholarship deal where you make this accessible to all these young people that are, you know, sort of discerning their, if they want to go into religious life, maybe they want to become a nun or a priest. I always know, so I always see them, and hopefully you have the weather for it this weekend, sitting out on the beautiful grounds. They say, stay away from the lake, but go anywhere else you like. And they're having their picnic lunches because you provide the lunches for everybody. It's always like a good sub sandwich and a bag of chips and a soda. Sodas aren't that healthy for. Maybe you should give them something healthier than
Coke. There's water there, too.
There is. But explain what you do for the kids as well, and how the people that do come and pay for a day there are basically benefiting our Catholic Church.
Yes. And again, as we said, it's not just strictly for the religious, although the religious are the dominant number attending the national meeting, but it's for the laity as well. And
I almost look at it as like a recruiting trip sometimes. Like I'm looking at these kids, it's almost like these people are each recruiting, like, hey, come with me. You know, you need to come with the Carmelites. You need to come with the Dominicans. You need to come with us. Those guys aren't as good as us. It's almost like a little, they're recruiting
a little
the
competition
athletes.
There, sure.
Yes, definitely
you
is.
Want your community to shine so that
right.
It'll attract the young people to be more interested and want to do some research and find out more about you. But again, that session for the youth, which we're not having a breakout session specifically for the youth this year, in that we used to use the auditorium at the grounds. We got into a little bit of complication with that, in that you have to rent portable toilets in order to use it, and that got to be very pricey. And so we just blended the youth right in with the rest of the meeting this year.
So nothing in the theater this year?
Nothing in the theater this year. We'll look at that at some other point, and perhaps we can do something separate. Another
conference,
perhaps.
There's a lot of woods around there, though. You could just say it's a golf course. Just go find your spot. It might not work for the girls. But.
Might scare the deer. You don't want to do that. So, no, but the youth are encouraged to come, as Mike was saying, because you know, many young people have never experienced getting to know a religious or getting acquainted with a religious. You know, I'm old enough to remember growing up and having religious staffing our schools, and we had the Franciscan sisters from Milwaukee when I was in grade school. So we had religious every day, and we got to know them, and they got to know us. And you know, some of them we might have been afraid of because we were the ones getting ourselves in trouble, but the other ones we looked up to and respected and had great awe for. But there's not as many religious staffing schools or involved in a lot of community efforts these days, just because the number of religious have shrunk over the years. But that's turning around, and they're growing again. These communities are growing left and right. The little
thanks
little
to you.
Well,
you're part of it.
We hope we are, and I believe we are working along with the Holy Spirit to bring more information to youth so that they can better understand and not be afraid of or misunderstand what religious life is all about. So, as Mike was saying, we encourage and welcome youth groups. There's a group that comes from Kansas on a bus every year, bringing a group of young, teenage-age people, along with St. John Cantius here in Chicago. And as Mike said, it provides the opportunity for the young people to experience what we experienced, what I tried to explain earlier, the beauty of religious life, the health and the vitality of religious life, seeing the different religious in their different habits, and then finding out through conversation and through the presentations that are provided at the institute at the weekend, throughout the weekend, I mean, just what the different charisms are and why people have answered the call to religious life. There's the opportunity, and we usually have someone present give a presentation on their vocational call. What inspired them to consider religious life, and again, why religious life is so vital and so necessary to the church, And so, yes, we welcome we welcome the young people and lay people to participate in the presentations that are provided throughout the day on Saturday. And then there's a banquet in the evening. There is a cost for the banquet, and that's at the dining room at the seminary. And the banquet is, again, to honor the Little Sisters of the Poor this year. And so we will be presenting them with the honor that they have so rightly earned.
They certainly have. I mean, they've definitely earned it, and they're very humble people, but they need support, as do you. We're going to take a break right now, and I'll be back with Jeff after a couple minutes here. God bless.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is the official sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago. Founded by Polish immigrants in the late 1800s, this historic church is more commonly known as St. Stan's. One church, many cultures, in that masses are held in English, Spanish, and Polish. The church is two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy. St. Stan's has been so prominent in the history of the church in Chicago that the Kennedy Expressway was even built around it. St. Stan's is easy to get to. It is the sanctuary for quiet prayer before the celebrated iconic monstrance. For Mass and confession times and special events, please visit our new website at ststanschurch.org. That's ststanschurch.org. And while you're on the homepage, feel free to click on the donations tab to help in the continuing restoration of St. Stan's.
The Winds of Change
on AM 750, WNDZ, and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
St. Stan's School has an amazing PK 3 through 8th grade program, focused on leadership and social-emotional learning, and is one of the only schools to implement the Reading and Writing Project of Columbia University and the University of Chicago. Everyday math across the board, PK 3 through 8th, is taught by our highly educated and dedicated teachers. St. Stan's students are academically challenged with advanced-level placement opportunities as their test scores and high school admissions speak volumes. St. Stan's is an integral part of the Wicker Park community, where you feel welcome and at home with other families and friends who enjoy the same warm, friendly, and safe atmosphere for their children. We have small classroom size, which makes a difference in the whole learning experience. Many schools have excellent programs. At St. Stan's, we empower students to be excellent. Join the St. Stan's family. It is a selective admissions process. Grades 1 through 8 are tested and interviewed. Call 773-278-4560. That's 773-278-4560. Or stop by at 1255 North Noble Street. That's one block north of Division, just off the Kennedy. More information at ststanschicago.org. That's ststanschicago.org.
All righty then, we're back. We got the Imperial March. We ran out of Easter songs, so we went to Star Wars. The old standby. But Jeff, you'd mentioned Judy Garland and the Easter Parade. Nick dropped the ball on that one. Sorry, buddy. Armin's going to probably come down on you for that. But that's okay. Anyway, we're talking about a wonderful weekend coming up this coming weekend at the seminary in Mundelein, the Institute on Religious Life. And this is your, what year is this now? It's your second as the big dog, but how many conferences, how many years has this been going on?
Oh,
the conference, the national one.
It's almost 30 years, if not 30 years, or maybe even a little bit more. It's been going on ever since we started the Institute on Religious Life in 1974.
Right.
Not sure that the conferences were quite as big or as organized as they have become over the years, but yeah, probably almost 40 years.
Well, it all starts somewhere. I mean, think about Focus, which has, we were just talking about that during the break, has got tens of thousands of college students. You know, over 100 colleges are sending people in. Started with four guys in a room in Kansas at one point, Curtis Martin and his group. And so you guys started it, Father Nelson. Now, Bishop Vasha, who is one of my favorite guys on the planet, he's coming in again, and he's out in Santa Rosa. But he's always in, and I've met several distinguished bishops that you always have special. And so the nuncio is coming, and obviously the little sister is Jean Jugon, I don't know if I said it right, but I mean, that's the best I can do with it. We've got a French connection. Ooh, there's a good movie. that French connection. But what I'm alluding to is obviously there was a fire in Notre Dame last week, and I'm wondering if that might be part of the discussion, since we've got the nuncio and we're talking about Jean Jugon, who is a wonderful French lady who helped the people, and all the pouring out of love and consolation to that city, which right now is, torn apart by this terrible fire.
I'm sure that'll be front and foremost in everybody's thoughts and prayers as we celebrate the weekend, but especially for the Archbishop and for the Little Sisters, whose founder is from France originally. Many of them have, the Little Sisters of the Poor that are here in the Chicago area have been to the place of the founding, been to France. So all the people of France will be in our prayers, and we pray that the Cathedral of Notre Dame will be rebuilt and restored to its original beauty. It's amazing to see the amount of money being pledged already from the secular world.
Right? Two people in particular.
Oh, my.
Hundreds of millions of dollars.
And I it's extraordinary because I'm not sure I'm correct on the original price tag of the renovation, but I thought it was like around $6 million or whatever.
Right. That's what
and
it
now
was.
There's more, $100 million being pledged to rebuild.
One person, I think, promised $70
million. Yeah.
It's almost as much as a couple of these quacks are pledging to fight Trump in the next election. They're talking about the big money. And yeah, I'll get political once in a while. There's no filter with me. But it's funny that they're talking about how, big money backs so-and-so. But now the big money is trying to get Trump ousted, and Trump's leading the way with all these minuscule, here's $100 here, $70 there, and there's guys pledging half or all of their fortune to try and oust him because they don't like the way it's going. And there's been an outcry in France now. These people have been protesting because so much money has been donated to help this beautiful building that took over 100 years to build and has been around for over 800 years and had, 52 acres of wood? Maybe they're saying that's why the fire right. was so big, because you had 52 acres of wood, and this is trees that were cut down over 800 years ago. So they I doubt they were giving them oil and moistening them and treating the wood there. So, I mean, it was kindling. But
it goes to show that you can never underestimate the beauty. And beauty is something that attracts people to pay attention, to look, to notice. And again, I think that's the beauty of the Institute on Religious Life, is that you see the beauty of the people who have committed their lives to living the consecrated and religious life, and that beauty attracts, just like the Cathedral of Notre Dame attracted millions and millions of people to go there to pray, and just to take in the beauty And so again, we can never underestimate what beauty can do to attract people to go deeper and to think about where did this beauty originate. It leads us back to God. And so, but again, to the weekend, our theme, Forming Apostles for Today, we have many notable speakers, Father Boniface Hicks and Father Thomas Acklin from St. Vincent's out in La Trobe, who have written a book on spiritual direction and are very educated and informed on providing spiritual direction. We have Father Thomas Nelson, our national director, who will be speaking. We have Bishop Vasha, who will be the opening speaker on Friday evening. Bishop Vasha is the president of the Institute on Religious Life Board of Directors. Again, Archbishop Christophe Pierre, the Apostolic Nuncio, will celebrate Mass and will also speak at the banquet. We have Father Brian Mullady, a longtime supporter board member. Will be giving a wonderful presentation on what spiritual formation and what formation actually means, especially for religious life and for religious communities. So a host of speakers that, again, will delve deeper into what formation in religious life and what basic formation is in the Catholic faith. And then this other gift of having the executive producer of Unplanned offering to give a presentation, which, by the way, will be at 1 o'clock on Friday afternoon, 1 p.m. And so, again, if you'd like, you can show up, or if you want to call ahead or want to email us at the religiouslife.com address, please do so for more information. But a little bit about the movie Unplanned, which has really, really brought to the forefront the horrendous situation in our country with regard to abortion. It's awful. It's a tragedy. The number of innocent lives that have been lost. And the thing about the movie is that it presents it not in a gruesome way, but in a very realistic way of what happens at Planned Parenthood. And we as a country and we as a nation have got to wake up and take it dead seriously that there's a crisis here with regard to the protecting the sacredness of life and upholding the sacredness of life. And again, when working with religious communities, they do that given, you know, second nature. But where has that gotten lost in our culture? And how can we restore that to our culture? And again, that's the beauty of working with religious, because they take it seriously. They live it seriously. They pray for it seriously. They pray for it with commitment. And we all need to make that kind of commitment to pray, to restore to our culture the sacredness of life, and to pray for an end to abortion. So, again, just a wonderful addition to what would already have been a fantastic weekend of spiritual direction and education. So if you can make it, we welcome you to join us for the Unplanned executive producer's presentation.
And that was Unplanned. I mean, talk about God intervening. Honestly, this is a timely issue because the movie just came out. And like you said, Unplanned at IRL was Unplanned, but for some reason he's going to appear there for you. And it's an opportunity for those of you who have seen the movie, for those of you contemplating seeing the movie, I strongly suggest you see the movie. But to listen to this guy who actually made the movie, he's going to be here. It's free. And it's not that far if you live in the area. It's Route 176 in the tollway, basically, just a couple miles west of the tollway there on 176. It's easy to access from Wisconsin, from Rockford, from Chicago. It's 40 minutes north of the city, basically, because you got to go a little bit west. But it's so easy to get to, and it's just so important, I think. I truly believe that this generation and what's going on in our country now is going to provide for the end of abortion. I do believe this generation, this crazy generation, whatever, with the snowflakes and everybody else involved. There's a lot of great people. They don't get the press. It's only the people that are pushing back right now, because that's what, the fake news wants to promote.
Of course, and Mike, I couldn't agree more. And I mean, when you watch the national news and you watch mainstream media that doesn't cover hardly anything with the pro-life march out in Washington, D.C.,
right.
And yet they'll cover all
the
of the
woman's
other
march,
marches.
The crazy
so
marches.
And so it's up to us to promote and get the word out and to ask people to pray and to get them involved in the pro-life movement. And as well, to get them involved and promote religious life and to come to understand religious life better.
And that's what you're doing. And we're going to be right back after this break. So stay tuned.
We got a lot in.
St. Stanislaus Kostka is the sanctuary of the divine mercy, where you can enter into the presence of Christ 24/7. Every first Saturday afternoon will be a special opportunity for healing. At 4:30, bring your petitions for our Blessed Mother's intercession as we pray the Rosary. Then, at 5, we share the body of Christ in the Holy Mass. Also, at 5:30, a Spanish Mass, followed by a Eucharistic procession, adoration, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and an anointing. Enter into the sacred space of St. Stanislaus Kostka and place yourself before Christ for healing. On first Saturday afternoon, starting at 4:30, find St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, 2 blocks north of Division, on Noble, just off the Kennedy in Chicago, and find peace and healing.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Winds of Change would like you to know that Illinois will become even more extreme on abortion if several pieces of legislation are passed and signed into law. HB 2495/SB 1942 is known as the New York Abortion Bill. This bill makes abortion a basic right for any reason or no reason at all, up to birth. Among the many shortcomings, this bill jeopardizes any meaningful regulation of abortion clinics. Sadly, this bill would make Roe v. Wade seem pro-life in comparison. Then there is HB 2467/SB 1594, which is the repeal of the parental notice of abortion law. An abortion will no longer require the notice of just one parent when a girl under 18 years old seeks an abortion. This bill effectively takes the power from parents and transfers it to boyfriends, sex traffickers, bullies, classmates, and educators. Contact your local state senator and House representative this week. Do it now with a kind but firm message not to support these bills. Go online to sign a petition with your friends and families at ICE-PAC.com/petition. That's ICE-PAC.com/petition. For more information, visit the Winds of Change homepage on Facebook. Put your faith into action.
We're back, and that was Linus and Lucy from the Peanuts holiday theme, because it's the Easter Beagle, Charlie Brown. I'm here with Jeff Carls from the IRL, Institute on Religious Life. The big national conference is this weekend, starting off on Friday with the Unplanned producer, and then I'll be showing the Glorious Life program on Cardinal George following that. So I hope you can come out. If you haven't seen that already, that is an amazing tribute to the late, great Cardinal Francis George of Chicago, whose fourth anniversary of his passing was just last week. And there's also another program I did for Little Sisters of the Poor for Shalom World that is available on YouTube. We were just talking a little bit about that. So that's something you can look up as well. I think it, too, is called The Glorious Lives. I'm not sure, but just, you know, look up Shalom World, Little Sisters of the Poor. It's a 28-minute documentary on who they are, what they do, and, you know, something we can share at the conference as well. So if you want to come to the conference, you need to sign up in the next couple days, by the end of the day, tomorrow, Tuesday. The spots are filling up, but there's still room to come, and Friday is free. But if you want to attend on Saturday, it's $60 for the whole day, and your money will go towards, obviously, your access to the conference. You know, you get a sack lunch with food and everything else. But it'll also help sponsor some of these young people that are coming in buses from as far away as
Kansas.
And then the banquet on Saturday night, which is always entertaining. And there's gift baskets. There's opportunities to win a raffle prize. And there's some pretty good stuff involved there. And there's always an entertaining guest. I mean, the nuncio, the apostolic nuncio, is going to be there. So how often do you get to meet the guy that basically is the Pope's, you know, representative here in the United States? And I was good friends with the last nuncio. I haven't met this guy, so hopefully I'll get an opportunity to meet him. But for the dinner alone on Saturday night is $100 per person. Well worth it. The food is great. You're served by the seminarians. They're your waiters, the future priests of all the local diocese. And I mean, it goes pretty far. These kids are here serving us, and it's an honor to meet some of them. And then, like I said, the day is a wonderful day, enlightening day of people that truly love their faith. And without further ado, I'll get back to Jeff, and you can tell us more about what else is going on and why should I come to this? I mean, I'm coming anyway, but why would somebody sitting on the fence want to come to this?
Because it's an experience. It's an experience of the faith alive, and it's nothing put on or nothing artificial. It's the real deal. As Mike was talking about the banquet, it's always joyful and high-spirited. Usually starts off with, the MC introducing the guests of honor who are there and recognizing the dignitaries, if you will. But there's always a cast of characters when you have the religious all together in one room. As Mike was mentioning, there's a raffle and there's gift baskets, and the gift baskets are loaded with a lot of homemade products that are made by the different religious communities that are there. There's also a beautiful icon being raffled off this year of the Holy Family. As Mike was saying, you're served by the seminarians, and they get a kick out of doing it and enjoy it, and you can just see how much they're enjoying waiting on the religious and the guests who are there. So for $100 a table, and the proceeds do go to help offset the expenses of the conference and to help sponsor religious who otherwise couldn't afford a table or to bring their whole community. So the proceeds go to offset those expenses, and it really is it's a contribution, if you will, to help support the endeavors and the apostolate of the Institute on Religious Life. So a time well spent. The Mass is beautiful. The St. John Cantius Choir is there to provide the very prayerful music. We're still in the season of Easter, so we're celebrating the beautiful High Liturgy of Easter. And then the following day, we conclude with Mass at 10 o'clock on Sunday and the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, being Divine Mercy Sunday. We have a relic, a Sister Faustina from the for Divine Mercy for reverencing. And again, just a beautiful weekend. The other thing is the grounds at the seminary are beautiful at this time of the year, spring. The flowers are starting to bloom, and the deer are roaming more freely than they were during the winter. And so it's just a break. It's a beautiful way to sort of culminate the Easter season, or the Easter octave, I should say. The Easter season continues, but a great way.
And the food is fantastic. I got to tell you. I mean, you never go away hungry. The food is well worth it. I mean, it's just better food than you get at a lot of these events that people go to. I got to tell you, I go to enough events and I know good food. And the seminary.
And that's true. The seminary does an awesome job. The food is first class, top notch, and the seminary takes pride in hosting this conference because it's been at the seminary for so many years. That they more or less pull out all the stops and make sure that we're well provided for, and they do an excellent job.
They sure do. Well, they're hoping that some of the people that come to this conference end up going to school there in a few years.
That's right.
I mean, this is, like I said, it is a mini recruiting trip for some of these kids. I was a football player. I got to go on recruiting visits when I was in high school and got to go to these schools and have them kiss my butt and say, oh, come here. We want you to come here. And that's exactly why I took the first time. I'm like, wait, this is like they're recruiting these potential priests and nuns. And
sure.
They're saying, hey. And, you know, funny thing is sometimes you'll see people there with their boyfriends or girlfriends. They're like, well, let's go. Because local schools are sending people. I mean, there's groups of people from the school. And you see some of the people walking together, holding hands or whatever. And they're saying, okay, well, I'm going to hold your hand now. But I know so many stories of conversion. Several of my priest friends that had girlfriends and girlfriends are like, oh, we can't be together anymore. You love God more than me, or you love Mary more than me. And, you know, you need to go be a priest. My best friend is a priest. And he actually had a French girlfriend. And the final stoke was, he's like, Lord, I am not breaking up with her. You're going to have to make her break up with me. And sure enough, he got back from Medjugorje, and she's like, his name's also Mike. Mike, we have to talk. But what? We're done. Go be a priest. And today he's a priest. And another priest I know, these guys are both relatively new priests. He went on a trip over to Italy, to Rome and to the Vatican, and he went with a couple of girls. He said, I went with one because I really liked her, you know? Then for some reason they went, they're in the neighborhood. They just went over to Medjugorje, and all of a sudden, boom, game over. And I mean, he's like, okay, it's amazing how many people get the itch. And all it is something like this conference to scratch that itch and make them, hey, wait a minute. Maybe this is something I should be contemplating. And you guys give them the opportunity to meet all these people. And that's certainly an eye-opener.
It's a beautiful thing because with the laity involved and, you know, on our Episcopal board at the Institute, there's 30-plus bishops who represent the episcopate. As advisors to the Institute on Religious Life. But there's also the laity that are involved. And so it's a combination of people that make up the universal church, if you will. And when you see them all together in one place that's predominantly religious, what a wonderful experience for any young person to be able to witness firsthand what the universal church looks like in action. And as Mike said, they may be touched beyond what they thought they would be when they come to visit. But if they're open to it and looking, God may touch their hearts during or throughout the weekend.
Well, you got Brian Milady. Father Brian is fantastic. And if you meet Bishop Bosch and you say, he's the head of the church out in Santa Rosa, these are just regular, Bishop Bosch is about as regular as you can get.
You got it.
He's such a likable guy, and if he's your boss, who wouldn't want to work for him?
Right.
So it's it is. I mean, Mike Wick, who preceded you, was there for years and did a wonderful job and brought me in as a guest to come and share my audio Bible with everybody. And it's been something that I've looked forward to going to every year. And I as a layperson, it is a nice break. So once again, Jeff, how would people go about getting in here for this weekend? You're running out of time, folks.
You can register online at www.religiouslife.com or call the office at 847-573-8975.
Hope to see you there. It's worthwhile. It's a wonderful weekend. Jeff, thanks for coming on the show today.
You're welcome. I'm delighted.
God bless you. And until next week, folks. Have a blessed week. This is Mike Stark signing off.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deep for truth or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see the winds have changed? such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now.